who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is a Saturday afternoon, 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, July the 4th, 2009. Bonnie Sue McCarroll is the speaker of this service, teaching on Walking in the Spirit.
Today I'm going to share things from my testimony and scriptures that mean a lot to me, the ones that have just really helped me through my whole life. And I pray that they'll become something precious to you. I thank God that my parents took us to church whenever we were young. I grew up in a small town in Missouri and out on the farm. And they took us every Sunday so that we would be in church. My mother was a Baptist, and my father was full-blooded German, and he was a Lutheran. So they had to decide what were they going to do. So they went to the Lutheran church for a little while. Even my oldest sister got sprinkled as a baby, which that's what they practice. And so finally my mother said, I just can't go along with this. And I praise God that my father was also willing to be able to take us to the Baptist church, that we would be able to learn the way of salvation, not just the way of a bunch of rules and, the things that they go through. So I praise God for that. I know that He was watching over us as we were growing up. So I did learn about salvation. And so when I was 12 years old, I knew I needed Jesus as my Savior. You know, when you're 12, maybe you don't think you've done a lot of bad things, but you still have to have salvation. And so in the Baptist church, you know, we heard a lot of good preaching, and they used to say hellfire and brimstone. So we had some of that, and I got under conviction, and it wasn't until I was 12 that I finally surrendered to God and gave Him my life. And then at the age of 16, God started dealing with me about full-time service. You know, in the Baptist church, we hear about full-time service and being a missionary and doing those things. So I just surrendered my life to God. I said, God, whatever you want me to do, that's what I'm willing to do. So whenever I got out of high school, I wanted to go to college. And my parents didn't have money, you know, for me to go. So I've got to work. I knew I had to work. And Southwest Baptist College was not too far from my home, about 50 miles. And so I went to work in Kansas City and worked real hard, saved my money so that I could go to college. And so I started preparing for what God wanted me to do. I knew that He had a call on my life. And so while I was in college, that's where I met Pastor McCarroll. And, you know, he already had a call on his life. And so we knew God had brought us together to be able to serve Him together. He was pastoring a little church, and so we decided, you know, we wanted to be married so we could serve God together. So when it came time to, you know, get ready for the marriage and everything, I started kind of worrying. You know, I'd worked and spent my money on college tuition, and I didn't have a hope chest like a lot of girls have. You know, everything you need, a cedar chest with all the things in it that you need. And so I just really started praying, and God spoke this scripture to me, and it has been a favorite verse to me my whole life. And that was Matthew 6:33. And it starts with verse 28. If you want to turn there in your Bible, Matthew chapter 6. This Bible that I'm using today is the New International Version. And so I'm going to start with verse 28. And this applies for every area of our life. And these are the words of Jesus. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. So if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So I think these verses are going to be very important in our lives from this time forth. You know, with the failure of all the money in our country and all the problems, we can stand on this promise. This is God's promise that we don't have to worry, that we have to, you know, trust in him and give him all of our life and believe him. And many times, you know, through pastoring, we've been in many different kinds of churches and small churches, and we've had to trust God for the needs which we had. And so I praise God that this has been my favorite verse, you know, through all these years. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. You know, we've seen God provide unexpectedly from people we didn't even know, and so God works in mysterious ways. So I praise God because that scripture, you know, has given me strength, it's given me courage, and it's given me faith to be able to trust in God and know that he's going to take care of everything. So we had pastored Baptist churches, and one of the men that we'd gone to college with, he had gone to Louisville to go to seminary, and we were in Missouri. One Christmas vacation, he came to visit us. You know, we'd been friends in college, but we hadn't seen him for a long time. So he and his family came. He said, I've had an experience. I was in a prayer room praying, and I had an experience with the Holy Ghost. And he said, I wanted to share it with you. Well, that was new to us, you know. We'd been taught it wasn't for today, and it wasn't, for us. So he left a little voice magazine, which was put out by the Full Gospel Businessmen. And so we started reading that and looking at the scriptures that went along with that, and saw that there were testimonies of people, you know, like us, who had received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And so we started searching. Well, my husband received first, and he would come and share with me about how he had already received, and he was speaking in tongues, and I had in mind that God would just take your tongue and just cause it to start speaking. So I just read everything that I could and tried to find out. You know, my husband was just thrilled with his experience, and of course he wanted me to have the same experience. So finally, as I read the scripture, and I read a testimony about a person who said, you just have to submit to God, and he'll give you words that you probably have in your mind to start with, and then you just start speaking them out. So that opened it up to me. I found out God's not going to just take your tongue and make it do it. And so I really submitted myself to God, and he filled me. And so we stayed at that church, you know, as long as we could, and shared with some of the people, and some of them did receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But finally the headquarters came and visited our church. And they said, well, it's not the Baptist doctrine. It's not. And so that was the end of our being able to stay in that church. But God led us to begin then a group who really wanted a move of the Holy Spirit. And so that's how we got into the moving of God in the Holy Ghost. And I praise God. I wouldn't want to go back for anything because, you know, it opens up in your life a relationship with Christ, which gives you the power that you need, and we can rely on him. And I praise God because he brought that friend, you know, who helped us to be able to know about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And in the 60s, 1966 and around in there, a lot of denominational people were getting filled with the Holy Ghost. And through the Full Gospel Businessmen, you know, people would go there and kind of sneak out of their churches. And then they would get prayer to be filled, and then they would be able to go back and share. So God had used that to really spread the moving of the Spirit all over the nation. And as we were, you know, in the ministry, and we now had, we had two children, I started praying and asking God, how could I, you know, be able to raise my children and also be able to minister, to be able to help my husband in the church, and be able to be used of him. And so I read some material, which was from Daisy Osborne. Okay, she's the wife of T.L. Osborne, which has done a lot of ministry overseas in the States. And so what I read from her really helped me. She said, I committed my children to God, and I took them with me whenever we would minister. They went overseas, and God let them, you know, take their families with them. And so that opened up to me that I could include my children in the ministry also. And so that's what we've done. We took our children, and they helped minister wherever we went. And so God was able to use them also and he has put an anointing on their lives as well. So we had four children in 1980. We had four children, and we were pastoring in Paducah, Kentucky. And God had brought us there. We were pastoring a full gospel church. And I thank God that we were able to go to a southern state. I learned a lot from the people in Kentucky. You know, that's a southern atmosphere. And it's been a blessing to me to hear many of you speak that southern accent. So we were thrilled to be there and to see what God would do there. When I was 39, then we had four children. The youngest one at this time was 9, and the oldest one was 15. And I found out I was pregnant again. And so, if any of you have ever been through that experience, you know that you think, how can I do this? How can I go through this again? And so I went to the doctor, and she said, at your age, we need to do a test. We need to do that test where they take a needle and they put it into your womb and they could draw out fluid from the baby to see if it's going to have Down syndrome. So I went home and shared with my husband, and he said, you're not going to have that. You're not going to do that test. It doesn't matter if that's the way our child is born. We'll love them, and we'll just thank God for them. We know that that's what God has for us. And so I went back to the doctor, and she said, well, you know, you have a choice that you can have an abortion if you find out that that's what's wrong with that child. And, of course, we did not believe that way. And so we said, you know, we'll be able to just have this child. It's amazing, you know, what God has done with our children. And this youngest one, which is now 28, God just uses him in a special way. And he was kind of shy when he was in school. Of course, we've had a Christian school, and we've raised our children in Christian education. And he was able to go through all of his years in Christian school. When he got ready for college, he said, I'd like to play football. I really like football. And he had played Little League football, but we were a Christian school. We didn't have football. But he really wanted to do that. So his dad took him over to William Jewell College, where we had gone to college, and talked to the coach. And so the coach said, yeah, we'll let him walk on, you know. So that was going to fulfill a desire in his heart. So that was really hard work. That was, you know, they have to go out there. They practice in the heat all day, all evening. And then, you know, they have their games. It's a real rigorous time for them. So he stayed there that year, and at the end of his first year of college, he said, I don't want to go back there. He said, God has a call on my life, and I want to go to Bible school. He had gotten, you know, he'd gotten into some Christian groups there on campus and had made Christian friends. And so he said, I want to go to Bible college. And he said, God's called me. And so even though he'd been kind of shy in school about getting up and speaking, God began to put a real anointing on him. And he has become a real strong preacher now. So I thank God the boys can all preach, but he's, you know, I know God had a cause for him to be born, and I praise God for that, you know, and many, many babies that are aborted, God has a plan for them, but, you know, man has taken that into their own hands and performed those abortions, and all of you know, not far from us, that that doctor, you know, got shot in his church on a Sunday morning. I'm sure you all probably saw that. So, you know, I think God is trying to show people what the right thing is to do, you know. And so don't take the devil's lie, and don't take the doctor's lie. If you have daughters, if you have granddaughters, help them to see that abortion is not the answer, and that that's, you know, that's murder. And so even though they might think, can I have this child? Well, God has a purpose for that child. So many times they can be adopted, or they can, you know, people who want children, you know, would be willing to take that child. So I thank God that we didn't believe the lie of the doctor. And I want to encourage you, my mother had breast cancer. And so every year, you know, the doctor says you need to have a mammogram. And so I do that because I think that we need to be aware. But every day I claim that that curse is not on me and on my children, that that breast cancer, that cancer curse is not on us. And so you can take the authority that God has given you. And don't claim any of that. Don't claim those curses that have been on your mother, or maybe your grandmother, or someone else in your family. Tell the devil you'll not accept that. And my mother had arthritis a lot, too, in her joints. And praise God, you know, God's just helped me that I have not suffered any of that in my joints. Praise God. And I'm 68 years old now, and I don't believe that I'm going to get that. Praise God. And so I take the authority over that too. So as spirit-filled believers, we have to tell the devil where to go, and that we're not going to accept his curse on us. So I thank God for his healing. I believe that we can walk in health, that as we submit ourselves to God and let him fill us with the Spirit, that he will help us to walk in health. And I praise God, because his power does give us that strength. And as you've heard Brother Glenn say, we were here at Lake Hamilton in the 70s. That's when we came first time, and we had met the Millers at the Full Gospel Businessmen's Conventions. They were doing the taping and keeping all that going, and that's where we met them and fell in love with them. And then we discovered that they were here, and they had this camp. And so we came and visited and learned about the deliverance, which, you know, we, even though we had the filling of the Spirit, we had never experienced deliverance or been around the deliverance message. And so we were interested in learning how to minister, you know, to our people through deliverance. So one of the men that we met here, and I don't know if he was still coming when some of you started, was Wynn Worley. He was up from around Chicago, and we learned his message, and he even came to our church. We were still in Paducah, Kentucky, and he came and shared with us, you know, the message of deliverance and how that we could minister to others. So we thank God for that, and that, you know, even though we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we have a lot of things that we need to let Jesus fill, take out of us. You know, those things. I praise God, you know, that my parents did keep us in church, and there were a lot of things in the world today which were not in the world, you know, when I was growing up. And I praise God for that. But we still have things that we need to get delivered from. And one of the things that that we learned through deliverance was, as we started in that, and maybe you've experienced this, that people began to start seeing demons in everything. Have any of you ever experienced that? Well, we know that that is true. Some people, one woman saw an angel in our church, and she thought that that was a demonic. And some people can see, or they think they can, demons in everything. And so that's something that we have to have a balance. And I praise God because I see that there is a balance, and that it is a message that we have to know about, that we're able to help people. And so we just have to have a balance, and we cannot just dwell on that, you know, that the message of Christ is a well-rounded message, and that it's important not to get just bowed down with maybe one thing or two things. So we would spend time praying with people, and sometimes hours and hours and days and nights. And have any of you, when you first started in deliverance, felt that kind of depression? Whenever you first start praying for people and you have to pray with them for a long time. Okay, sometimes you might feel that depression, which whenever you're doing that. And so these are some things I had to learn. I began to really feel depressed, you know, as we were praying for people, and we were helping them, but it can get in your mind and just kind of depress you. And so this is the scripture that God gave me to really help me, and help me to be positive, to help me to be able to overcome myself. And that's Philippians chapter 4. Does this mean anything to anybody else? Philippians. And we look at chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 4 through 9. All right, Philippians chapter 4. I finally, you know, got these scriptures. I memorized them, and I put them in my heart and in my mind. And it helped me to really win the battle myself. You know, that I would be able to minister to other people and to be able to help them get the victory. And I am reading from the New International Version, and it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then he says, "Finally, brothers," he doesn't say you'll automatically do this, but he says, "whatever is true, whatever is noble, and what's the King James use? Honest. Whatever's honest, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And then whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. So I found out I had to make myself think about those things. And that's what we need to do. We can make ourselves, we make our minds think about the right things. Let's go over those things again. Whatever's true, whatever's, what's the next one? Honest. Whatsoever is just, and whatsoever is pure, lovely. Think on these things. There's so many things, you know, that make us think about the wrong things, isn't it? And so, as I got these scriptures in my heart, in my mind, it helped me to have the victory and to be able to help others have the victory, to think about the good things. Now, I know in these days, it's kind of hard, isn't it? And I praise God this week. We haven't had any TV. We haven't had to watch the news. And I hope Michael Jackson will be buried by the time we get home. Praise God. We won't have to see that every day. So, you know. Okay. Right. Right. I know. And so, when we watch those things, that's depressing to me. The things you see on the news, the negative things, the negative that the news gives, that they don't ever tell anything positive, do they? They don't tell the good things that are happening, you know. I see young people which are really doing great things. You don't see them on the news. You see those things that are bad. And so the media seems to really dwell on that. And that's what they bring forth. So, can we feed on that 24/7? No. We'll be defeated. We will be depressed. And so, I think we have to know what's going on in the world, but we just can't watch that all the time, listen to that all the time. We have to have the Word of God, and we have to spend time reading it, studying it. I know when I first got the Holy Ghost, I wanted to read everybody's testimony and every book and all of that. That's what I had a desire to do. And finally, I just saw that there wasn't anything as satisfying as the Word of God. Reading the Word of God and putting that into our minds and into our hearts. And I hope that that's the desire of your heart, is to read the Word of God and to dwell on that. And that'll help us to think about the things that are good, the things that are honest, the things that are pure, the things that we need to think about. And so sometimes we just have to turn things off. And then one sister today, as we were talking, she said, I used to watch Christian TV all the time, every day, and then she got weaned away from that. And she said somehow through their cable, that channel had been taken off their cable, and so she didn't have that available. But she said, I just finally had to get weaned away from that. There are a lot of good things. You kind of have to have discernment to know what God would want you to feed on. Just like we have, our meals, our physical meals, that we want to feed on the right things and not on junk stuff all the time. And so, you know, the world has just put stuff out there, you know, and that we have to really be strong, you know, not to be watching all that stuff all the time, because there's and I pray for my grandchildren, because you know, there's so much that's coming into their lives through the media, through TV and movies, and that we have to just pray that God will protect them and protect their minds and take the authority over those things. Because the word television is a good thing, you know, and when it's something that God wants to be used for good, then Satan wants to use it for his glory. So we as Christians have to take the authority over that and turn the knob sometimes. Right, we just have to turn that knob. And we have to keep positive as Christians. And I know through the Word of God, and God can help us to be able to be positive. And we want to, as we minister to others, and I know all of you will be going back to your churches and your responsibilities, and then we'll have to help other people. The things that we have learned here, we're going to take back to help the people that we minister to. And so I thank God. A lot of the things that we had learned in deliverance before, you know, I was reminded, but I've learned some new things this week from the teaching that we've gotten from everyone, is that, you know, certain curses, certain things in people's lives. As I've been listening, I'm thinking about, you know, some people in our church, a mother who has a little girl that was born, you know, and she wasn't married to the father. But now the little girl has contact with her father, but she still has lots of problems, you know. The mother and the daughter both have problems. And so I pray that maybe we'll be able to minister there, you know. And so it helps you to see what some of the symptoms are of someone who, you know, has been born in that situation, and the anger and all of that child has, that God can set them free. As I think about what we've experienced this week, I think about the dandelions, which come up in the spring. They're so beautiful, aren't they? Those little yellow flowers that are all over the yard. And in our Christian school, when we would go out on break and play, the little girls loved picking those little flowers. They would get a whole bunch of them, and they'd bring them in and say, "I'm going to take these to my mama. I want to give her a pretty bouquet of flowers." But we know what the root of that flower is, which is that dandelion, which goes way down into the ground. And then, you know, not long, you have that little fuzzy thing that comes out on top, and then that spreads all that seed everywhere. And so I think of that as something that the devil does. He can make things so pretty. He can make a beautiful flower. But the root down inside goes down a long ways. And then the result can be the seed that spreads out into our families, our friends, you know, lots and lots of other people. And so just like something is beautiful as a flower at the beginning, the result of that, the root of that, that can go down into our lives, that's where we've got to get that root out. And I think a lot of you have been able to do that this week, and I praise God for what He has done in people's lives. I thank God for deliverance, because without that, you know, I think we as Christians can go so far, we can get to a certain place, and then maybe we can't really grow to the maturity that God wants us to be able to be without being free of a lot of things in our lives. And so I praise God. I give Him the glory. I give Him the honor. And I think that He lets us find out about the things that we need in our ministry. And I know that He has led us along the way. Just in the past 2 years, we were able to have Dr. Null come to our church and minister. And so he ministered to a lot of people, and we thank God for his ministry, which got us back in contact, you know, with Brother Glenn and with Lake Hamilton. And so I thank God for that, and that we've been able to meet all of you and be able to learn a lot this week. Something that God he put into my heart that I want to do. I don't want you to talk a long time and go into detail, but you know, the Word of God says we overcome him. They overcame him by the word of the testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And so we've just got women in here, you know, this afternoon, and God spoke to my heart, and he said, I want them to share. Not to go into a long testimony, but what God has done for you this week. Maybe you can give one sentence. Maybe you can give a word as to what God has done for you. I want us to just share, you know. We've had speakers up front, and we've gotten prayer. But maybe you haven't really got to share what God has done for you. So I'd like for I'm sure everybody's received something. I'd like for each one to share, you know, not a real long, drawn-out thing, but something that God has done for you. He's done a lot for me this week. It's been good for me to be able to get away and to come and draw away with the Lord. And I thank God for that time. So, all right, who'd like to be first? Okay, just come on up. I'm going to let you talk in the microphone. They are taping, and so it will be on a tape, and you don't have to give your name. I just want you to share.
I want to thank God this week for all that he's done for me. And when he says not to run, but to stand firm, my child, to do so. Because that's been really hard for me to do, to stand firm. And the devil telling you to flee. But I said, no, I guess, you know, God, you are right. I have to stand firm because you've taught me how to do that. And this is my testimony. It's been wonderful.
All right. Praise God. Praise God for that. All right. Just come on up. Okay. Just come on up, and we'll let you give a word. Okay. Everyone can share. We're just going to have everybody.
Well, praise God. I felt like I was supposed to come here this week. I thought that the camp meeting was open, but I wasn't for sure. But I tell you what, I've learned some things last night that it's going to help me. And I just praise God for what he's doing. I just give a little short testimony. I've been on my deathbed 4 times in the last 5 years. And the last month, God has taken all the nurses away and 9 doctors. And I'm walking without a walker. And I'm just praising God for what he's done for me. Because he told me that he didn't allow Satan to come against me. Satan didn't come against me. But I had allowed Satan to come because I was in the Word day and night. And meditating on the Word day and night, and then I allowed Satan to steal the Word away from me, and I lost my healing because I walked in divine healing for 25 years. But I'm back in the place with God further than I ever was before. All right. Hallelujah.
All right. Praise God. All right. She's walking good. Praise the Lord.
We had not actually had a vacation since the April before last, and the Lord made a way for us to come down to this camp meeting, and I've been set free from stuff that was while I was in my mother's womb. Okay. And so I've been set free and delivered, and I just thank the Lord for that.
All right. Amen. Amen. So through the teaching, you learn the things that you want to be free of. Wonderful. Praise God. All right. And I know everybody has something to share, so come on up. We want to just share with each other.
Well, I tell you, I've never met so many wonderful people here. So friendly, so full of the love of Jesus. And the one thing that's taken place for me is, you know, you get so caught up in living, even serving the Lord, that you get off track. Well, now I'm back on track. Praise the Lord.
All right. Amen. Yes. Right. He gets us to the place that He wants us to be. He wants us to be on the right track, and we thank God.
All right.
I used to live here about 20 years ago, and when I left here, I thought I knew everything about deliverance. Well, in the 20 years I've been gone, I found out that I didn't, and I've watched my children come up with things that I hadn't learned before. And being here this time, I've had a refresher course in deliverance. I've got a lot of things helped me, and I have to say that Carla has helped me this morning wonderfully. I'm really expecting miracles for that. And then I talked to Jim Landry. I had when I moved, everywhere I'd moved to, I found out that something would knock on my door, literally knock on my door. I would get up and I would go around and I'd see what was knocking on my door. Well, it didn't make any difference where I was. It knocked on my door. The house I moved into, and then I went spent a year with my son in Louisiana. I spent a year with my son in Eminence. Even if I went to spend the night at my daughter's, it would knock on that door, and it just knock, 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 like somebody was there. And I talked to Jim this, because I found in his book back there, he talked about poltergeist. And I asked him, was it a poltergeist? And he said, probably something that I had gotten and took hold of and kept. Well, I thought I'd cleaned out my house, but I like to sew, so I had pin cushions. And that just come to me today. And I have 3 pin cushions, and they're all little Buddhas around this pin cushion is in the center, and around the outside is little Buddhas that are holding hands. And I thought of that, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to get home and going to burn those things, because no matter if I went to my daughter's to sew, I'd take the pin cushion. I go to my son's to sew, and I take the pin cushion. So no matter where I went, I took the pin cushion. So, check your house. You may have things you don't even know about, because I didn't think anything about that. But thank the Lord.
Amen. I've learned something. Amen. All right. So when you go to buy something, you know, see if it has a picture on it or has a little statue or something. Okay, made in China, and everything we have now comes from there, doesn't it? So, all right. We can pray over the things that we get, and you know, I don't know if the Chinese people are praying curses on our things, but all right.
Well, this morning I think Brother Boudreau was talking about dreams, and I had a dream this morning, and through this whole time of deliverance, I know that the Lord's been trying to bring this to my attention about like confidence in Him. And you know, He has ways of speaking to us so personal. And so in this dream, it was a house, which I know that, you know, we're the house. I know after I thought about the dream. And the house, when I saw the house was real solid. It was built really solid, and the structure of it was just, I could tell it was solid. But when I would look out the windows, there was like a storm, and not hail, but because it was like, you know, like when rain falls from the top and you get those things that hang down, what are they called? Yeah, they were shooting down at the house. And I had a lot of windows, and I could see them out there, and I was just like, wow. I was overwhelmed by what I was seeing, but at the same time, I was overwhelmed by noticing that the house structure was really solid. There was a little bit more to the dream, but what stood out to me the most was, even through this meeting, this time, is that I can tell that God has put such a confidence in me that my house is solid.
Hallelujah. All right. All right. Amen. It's on the right foundation, on a solid foundation. All right. You want to share? All right.
I'm just so happy to be here and blessed to be listening to all these wonderful women minister. And, you know, coming from Manhattan, from New York area, there are not too many people doing deliverance or talking about demons. And when you come here, you just realize that you're not crazy, because I still rebuke and talk to myself and, you know, bind the devils while I'm walking in New York and stuff like that. And people look at me and I start wondering myself, what are you doing? That's not normal, you know. And then you come here and you see all the manifestations and you think, you keep doing what you're doing, because these demons are real and they are coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's very obvious here. So I just thank God for the reinforcement. I'm doing the right thing. And I just thank this camp for still preaching the truth and for these great women of God that reinforce it all.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. All right. All right. Okay, I know God's done something in everyone's life.
Yes, ma'am. Well, this is my first time to come to camp, and Louise Pimble, we go to her house for Bible study for years, and she has been a mentor in our life like her, and she's just shown the love of God to us through all of our, through everything, and I've seen her do it with everybody, you know, that's ever come to her house. She's, even though she, I used to think that she thought that deliverance was everything. But the more that I, you know, I mean, she didn't really say that, but because we had had bad experiences with people that it wasn't right, you know, and so, but the more time that I spent with her, I knew that, you know, that Jesus was everything to her, and deliverance was just a part of it, and so I'm very grateful to her, and I knew that she came up here, and I never had any intentions of coming. I was just happy that she was happy about it, you know. And so, but not too long ago, Ada and Don came to Louise's, and there was just a purity in Ada that I fell in love with, you know, and it was just the same thing, love, it was Jesus. And so then we came up here and visited one Sunday, and we made some pictures, and I got my pictures developed. And when I went back home, and when I got them home, and I looked at them, it was like, when I looked at Ada, it was like Jesus was looking back at me, and I just couldn't stand it. I just had to, you know, put it down. I couldn't stand for him to look at me. You know, it made me feel so unworthy, and something just broke in me, you know, and I began to get deliverance then, you know, just from me finding a friend that I could trust and him looking back at me like that. You know, I don't really know how to explain it. It sounds kind of crazy. It felt kind of crazy too. And so anyway, I tried to tell Ada about it, you know, but there really wasn't any way to explain it. And the whole week, I'm fixing to quit. The whole week that I was going to come up here, I felt so uneasy about it all. But I just says, no, I'm going. I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. Nothing's going to stop me. But I didn't want to pack my suitcase. And anyway, I ended up coming. And I missed a terrible storm in Malvern by about 10 minutes. And I came into
hot springs from Malvern, and I was coming up through here right before the 7 o'clock service on the very first night, and the traffic started getting slow. And I thought, well, if it's a wreck, I'm probably going to be late, but it doesn't matter. I'll sit here till whatever. And so the traffic all went into one lane, and I eased up, and it was a wreck. And they were letting the traffic go on through. And right when I got up to the wreck, a lady stepped out from over from the sidelines, like this far, just stepped out in front of my car and said, "Stop!" And I looked over to the side, and there was a person laying out on the street that was dead. And they were trying to do CPR on him. And she was evidently looking like 6 or 7 cars behind me. There was an ambulance coming, and she wanted everybody to stop so the ambulance could come around and come in, but he couldn't do it that way. And she just was still standing there in front of my car, you know, just... And I wasn't going to go against her and or try to get her around her or anything. And then she looked at me and said, "Go." And I just went on. And as soon as I left there, the Lord said, "There's been a spirit of death over your life trying to attack you, you know." And I knew that I'd been depressed and everything, but it was like... It was like it was real. I mean, I could believe it. After that happened to me, you know, I could believe it. And then when Carla taught the first day, you know, on Rahab and all that, God began to reveal it to me, you know, the root of all the things that was trying to come against and destroy our life. And this prison ministry lady had the answer for me. And my husband and I prayed about it, and we agreed in prayer that the Spirit of Truth go. We pray that God will send the Spirit of Truth in our family before us, and I thank you for that.
Amen.
I'm sorry.
All right. Okay. Well, that was a blessing. Yes, that was great. Amen.
I haven't been here for the Hope Camp meeting. I just got here last night. I won't be here but till about tomorrow. It doesn't matter. Whatever I get strength. It doesn't matter if I'm here an hour. I don't have to say nothing. I just get here and I'm fine. It's just peace. So I'm just very blessed to have a place to come to, and I thank the Lord for it. Very, very special people here. I thank them.
All right. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. Praise God.
I remember coming as a child from probably about the age of 9 and remembering that Dr. Noel said that we should take authority over the things in the fields and in the woods and things, and that we should pray for God's protection. Well, before I left home, I had prayed that the Lord would watch over Benjamin and I and to get us here safely, and I prayed that, you know, for guardian angels to watch over us. And I was just about a quarter of a mile from here, and I fell asleep. And I hit one of those steel guard rails. And it shook me up so bad, and the fear was just tremendous. When I got here, I had a mechanic that checked the truck. There's nothing wrong with the truck. No dings, no, nothing's wrong with it. So I know that it's that we need to do that. Take authority over those things and pray for the Lord's protection before we go anywhere. Put that armor on every day. So I just praise and thank the Lord that He brought us here safely and that I've been delivered from the fear of that accident. And so, praise God. The guardrail got dented pretty good, and there's nothing happened to the truck. So we know that God did it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Great. All right. I don't know if those of you that have shared whether, you know, God's got a blessing for you this week or not, too. Okay.
Well, surely you have. If Glenn was in here, he'd say, "Line up." right. I have two things I want to share. I was telling, I don't know your name, Ben's mom, Benjamin's mom. Mernis, and Jane at the table at lunch about Caleb. most of you know I have two little boys, a three-year-old and a two-year-old, and both prophesied to us. Both prophesied to us. They're just drive me crazy, but they're a blessing. They really are. But last summer, Caleb, you know, there's the little creek down here, and we go down there. I don't know what their thing is about throwing rocks in the water, but they just love to do that. And so we were all down there throwing rocks in the water, and that's what we were going to do. And Caleb, I was turned around. Here's the lake, and I was turned around like this trying to take Josh's shoes off. And Caleb bailed off in the water before I could do anything about what he had done. Well, the water is only, you know, about mid-calf deep, but, you know, he was little, and so he just went face first into the water. And, you know, the fear wants to rise, you know, the panic is, you know, and just real calmly I walked over to him and picked him up out of the water, and I've got that real under control not to panic, because if I do that, then they do that, you know. So I just calmly picked him up out of the water, and of course he was, you know, and he was crying, and so I immediately started to pray over him and binding the spirit of fear that would try to enter, you know, from falling into the water. And ever since then, and this was towards the beginning of the summer, and ever since, I mean, all last summer, he would not have anything to do with the water. I mean, he didn't want to get back in. I watched Rhonda's kids, and we'd go down there, and they'd swim, and Caleb just did not want to get in the water. And even when I give him a bath, and the water would get on his face, he would cry. So we just keep praying and keep praying and believing, you know, that God's going to set him free. And that's a generational thing. My mother has a fear of the water. I got thrown in and wasn't able to swim, and so I used to be afraid of the water. And this summer, we got a little boat, nothing fancy, but just something to get us out in the water. And so we've been going out on the boat. Well, Caleb, I don't know when it happened. I can't tell you when it happened, but God has set him free from that fear. And we got them a little life jacket, and we went swimming right before Monday, right before camp meeting on Tuesday. He didn't want me to hold him. He wanted to just do it by himself, swim out there in that water. He was just free as a bird, as a little tadpole. He was just like a little tadpole out there. I know I was excited for him, you know, because we so focused on ourselves, we forget about, you know, or wait till they're older, you know, and I see these older kids, and they start when they're this little, because when they're this little, they're, you know, they're teachable, and you can, you know, they'll let you pray for them, and, you know, instead of being so opposed to, you know, what you're doing. And for myself this week, that's what's happened to Caleb. And for myself, I really don't want to tell you, but I'm going to, because our testimony is what we overcome by. I'm by no means a small woman, and I've never been thin, never. I think I was born 10 pounds. I mean, honest to goodness, I'm not telling you some story. I've never been a thin person. I've always been heavy. And I don't really know what to tell you. I don't really know where it come from, or, you know, what happened, or, you know, you can go on a gazillion diets. You can be this, and, you know, your weight will go up or you go down. Or you can say, oh, I'm getting older, so that's what happens when you get older, or, you know, whatever. And or I hear all these thin women talk about when they were young and thin, and then now they're not. So I'm like, I can't even relate, because I've never been skinny, you know. But it was like, I don't know, it's just like in the last several months just peaked. Not my weight, the thing, you know. The thing that controlled me. And I told Bonnie and Carla and Janie, when they prayed for me, I was telling Patty first. And it just, I felt like I had a ball on my leg. I know I'm probably taking too much time, but I feel like I need to share with you what happened. And so I had a ball on my leg, and I just felt like I couldn't go anywhere. I was just stuck in a rut and unable to read the word, unable to really pray, and really just anything, just yucky, you know. And it was just not good. And like Carla was teaching on Tamar and desolation, and, you know, you just, when you're molested or raped, or God was totally speaking. I mean, that's how I was, but with this other thing, you know. And I just was bawling. I was just like, this thing is just tormenting. It just torments me to when I wake up in the morning, that's not food. I don't want you to misunderstand. I'm not thinking about food all day, but just me, myself, my weight, my just everything about how yucky I am. You know, you have all these people that speak all these horrible things into your life. People that supposedly love you and that are close to you, my mother, you know, my, you know, whatever, and you begin to believe what somebody else has said about you, and these things just follow along behind me. That's right. You know, just whatever. I've heard many teachers say, you know, you used to hear that as a kid, sticks and stones may break my bones, but your words will never hurt me. Well, that's a lie, because they do.
Right.
And so it's so important to lift each other up and encourage each other and share my testimony with you. And so I came in here, and Patty said, you need to go. And I said, okay. And you were still talking. And I was like, well, I'm just going to wait till she stops talking. And she said, no, you need to go now. And I said, well, she's still talking. And she said, just go sit down in the chair. And I said, okay. So I came out here and sit down in the chair. And then she said, you better go first because you have to cook dinner. So I said, okay. And I had them pray for me. And each one of the ladies had something that they prayed over me, and I can't tell you what it was other than it was Jesus. It wasn't Janie, Carla, and Bonnie. It was Jesus. And it is different. It was like, and I've only had one other experience where it's been night and day, and that was from the spirit of murder. But this was night and day. I woke up yesterday free.
Hallelujah.
Free.
Hallelujah. Wonderful. Wonderful. Amen. All right. I know some others have some more things to share. And so we got time. We got time. And I know God told me to do this to let you share. You know, because like I say, the word of our testimony will set us free.
Normally I sit back because it's so refreshing to hear what God has done in the lives of everyone when they come. And there's been so many times in the past during camp meeting when God has done something in my life, and it's a wonderful thing to testify to. But this time God really has done something in my life besides just the things that we do here during camp meeting as far as working. And Don said something yesterday when he said, and I'm paraphrasing this, but he said, there are times in your life when the devil seems to have more power than God does. And that is not true. We know that is not true. But when you're going through something or someone you love is going through something, it is something that you have to fight against, because sometimes the enemy comes in like a flood. And no matter how much you know, and no matter how much you know how to pray, and no matter how much you know not to do, to do, confess, you know what I'm saying? You can know it all, and you're still in the middle. You're in the middle of it. And God is there with you. You know, I hear that scripture. I'm not up here to preach, I promise you. I hear the scripture, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against it. And a long time ago, I said that differently. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard. And it's necessary sometimes to get a hold of that, you know, based on what Don was saying, because sometimes God allows things. God is there. He's, you know, what the enemy means for evil, God means for good. I'm saying all that to say this. That was a word of truth that came really spoke to me yesterday, because I had the ladies pray, Carla and Bonnie Sue and Janie. It's like Tammy had them pray. I had them pray for my mother, because my mother for 45 years has been battling off and on different areas in her life, different organs in her body, different functions. She's been battling cancer. And, you know, you can say, well, there's something in the kidney and that's why the cancer's there. Or there's something in the lymph glands and that's why the cancer's there. Or there's something in the colon and that's why the cancer's there. Well, maybe there is and maybe there isn't. I don't know.
I know that there's never been a formula that has worked yet, except that God intervenes in my mother's life when people pray. All right? And we had not been able to talk to Mom on the phone since last Saturday because she had gotten so weak and she was so out of breath and she's just... And you probably say, well, why aren't you up there with her? Well, I'm telling you, every fiber of my being wants to be up there with her. But God, I can't do anything up there for her that I can't do for her here because she's in the hospital and we can pray here. And these ladies prayed. And yesterday, my sister told me, she said, why don't you call between 5:15 and 5:30? I'll be there, and then if Mom is too tired to talk, then I'll be there. Well, I called at 5:15, and my mom answered the phone. They've got the ringer turned down. She isn't even supposed to hear the phone. And my sister said she would talk for 2 minutes, and then she'd say, you know, here, I can't talk any longer. So I get a hold, and her voice is strong and it's resonant, and I started bawling. I just started crying, and I said, Mom. And she says, well, hi, honey. And I said, Mom, you sound wonderful. And she says, I feel better today than I have felt in 3 weeks. And I said, Mom, the last time I talked to you on last Saturday, all you said to me was, Patty, pray, please pray. And I said, I prayed, and I've been praying, and everybody else has been praying. And so I just want to testify to the glory of God that God has stepped in again. He stepped in again, and strength and strength and strength and strength and strength and strength. And I don't know what I've told the ladies. My mother belongs to God, and when He's done with her, that's when He's done with her. And in the meantime, and don't think we haven't broke curses, and don't think we haven't done all of that, and we're still going to keep praying. All right. But I'm telling you, I'm here today to say that the devil is not more powerful in my mother's life than God is. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
I want to say this. Before we conclude, this lady right over here, the ministry needs to pray for her.
Right. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. What, huh?
Name is Karen.
Okay. All right. Sure. We will. We sure will. We got a few more minutes for testimonies, and then we will pray. Yes, ma'am.
I'm not sure what I want to testify, except I've been coming out here a long time, and when I first came, I was in great pain from a husband who had left me for another woman, and so I was heartbroken, and all of you who have been through that know all that comes with that. And then started healing from that, and then I had a brain tumor and it left me paralyzed on my right side, and so I, you know, couldn't talk without holding my mouth around to try to look better, and so self-conscious. And by coming out here and prayer and ministry, all those things have gotten better, so that I, after a while, I wasn't coming because I hurt so bad or something was so wrong, but the Lord was, you know, prompting me to bring this one and bring that one. So then I started bringing people, and I brought a lot of people out here over the years, people in my church mainly that are in a Baptist Bible study. These Baptists invited me over, and they all got baptized in the Holy Spirit, so I brought some of them out here. And the last time I brought people from my church, 4 or 5 years ago, it was a disaster because I invited one that was a schizophrenic, and I didn't know. I knew I needed to bring her, but I didn't know, you know, that she was schizophrenic. And I brought another one that was full of fear. Well, we had a disaster that year out here, and Dr. Noel told me one morning, he says, get those girls and get in the car and get home as fast as you can. It was on Thursday. I was planning to stay till Saturday. Yeah, I don't know why I'm telling that. But anyway, after that, the priest said, don't take anybody else from the church out there, because they went back and it got bad. And one told a lot of lies, you know, that we burned incense out here and da-da-da-da. Well, anyway, so then I couldn't bring anybody from the church, and I brought all the Baptist ladies that could come. But then I started bringing my grandsons. And I guess what I'm saying is how this thing goes on and on and moves out and multiplies. And I brought my oldest grandson. This is his third time. And then the younger one, the 12-year-old, came last year and this year. So this year he's saying, Grandmother, do you think that we could invite all the youth in the church? I'd like for them to come. And see, it's gotten in him, this thing to go home and bring others. You know? And I said, well, we can invite. And I said, God, you know, what's he going to go back and tell? I'm not going to worry about it. But I just thank God for this. And as we came back this year, I could tell they both felt so good and so loved, and people called them by name, you know. And thank you that you are attentive to them. And I just love it that people pay such attention to the little ones and the little praiser that, you know, it's such a nurturing place. And
all right. Praise God. Wonderful. Wonderful. All right. Our sister in the back coming up.
I got so much to thank the Lord for. A lot of you know my husband. You probably knew him before when you couldn't get a word in edgewise, and now he barely talks. But the neighbor across the street, her husband has the same thing. And she tells me all the things she's going through, and I said, my husband used to have that. He doesn't do that anymore. Because he got deliverance here of a lot of things. He used to get angry all the time, or he'd either be sleeping or he'd be angry. And I was at the point where I don't believe in divorce, but I thought, I can't live with this day in, day out. But he's gotten deliverance from the anger, and Dr. Knowles prayed for him many times, and he's been slain in the spirit and filled with God's love. He never knew how to love me or his kids. And, you know, the first time he got prayer here, My son came over, and my husband hugged him. And my son said, Mom, there's something wrong with Dad. And I said, what? What's wrong with Dad? And he says, something wrong. He hugged me. And I said, well, he should have been doing that all along, you know. He couldn't show the love, and now he can show the love. And, you know, it's not happening as fast as I'd like it to, but I really believe the Lord's working on him little by little, day by day. And I'd like to also praise the Lord for, I never knew my parents. And, thank God for, everybody talks about curses. You know, Jerry covers just about everything on the curses, and I thank God for that, because I don't know what curses are. I don't know, aunts or uncles or brothers or sisters, but the Lord knows. And as I break each curse, you know, back and even forward, because my stepdaughter's, she's been to witchcraft, you know, fortune tellers and that. And I thank God for binding and loosing and the Word of God. And I'd also like to thank the Lord. I got a mother's blessing and a father's blessing today from Don and his wife, Ada. And I know it's going to do wonders in my life because of it. And I didn't even know it was necessary, but I thank God for these faithful workers here that come. And the messages, you know, the Lord cares about each and every small thing in our lives. I said to the Lord the other day, but nobody ever talks about rivers. I got to look into rivers. What's going on with the rivers? And then today, the minister preached on rivers, and I said, Lord, you care about every little thing in our lives. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. All right. Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Right. Your testimonies have been great. They've been great. Well, let's pray for our sister over here. And okay. All of us can just agree together, and we can pray. We can.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.